Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans, and it is chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we have many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
I am excited. Tove, morning. Yes. Oh, this could get old and no longer be Tove. But at the moment, there's a little bit of Tove with it. So this is, we're going to dive into an introduction on this topic, and hopefully if you're still scratching your head a little bit over Tove or Tov, you can pronounce it different ways. Hopefully it'll become clear what we're talking about as we move forward together. There is this passage that we've had read, we've got a section of it on, this is for the whole, that slide, that's the artwork for the whole series. And it's there, verses 9 to 10 of chapter 12. It's not the NIV version that you just had read. I think it's the NLT from memory. And I love it. It is Tove. It reeks of Tove. And as I read it, there's something that warms my heart in it. I love Tim's prayer this morning as well. Thank you, Tim. I loved that idea. I just love straight off the bat, don't just pretend. And gee, it's tempting when we think this is what something should look like and we just go, okay, well, I've just got to look like that. And we start to pretend. We do it naturally And the world encourages us to do that, to pretend rather than actually be changed and transformed in some profound and deep way. And so this series that we're doing, we've just come off a series that is not about pretending, but about following Jesus and being shaped by him to be more like him. If nothing, when you look at Jesus' journey all the way to the cross and the fact that he was sort of abandoned there by his disciples, by the 12 in particular, it highlights, doesn't it? If you want to pretend, it's going to come crashing down. It's going to come crashing down. There's got to be a profound, deep change. You've got to want to love Jesus to the point of staying with him. There's got to be a change within us. We can't pretend. And so I just want to highlight the fact that as we go into this new sermon series, don't leave the last one behind. In fact, whatever sermon series we go into, don't leave the idea of being an apprentice to Jesus behind and being shaped by him as we move forward. So what is Tov? And I pronounce it Tov. You can pronounce it Tov, Muscle Tov. You can pronounce it... I can't think of any other ways to pronounce it. I was going to give you other options, but you might find a way. See me at morning tea. Anyway, Tov is the Hebrew word for good or goodness. There is a Greek word that when you translate the Hebrew into the Greek or is used in the Greek New Testament that only has two characters. It's even smaller than Tov. So things don't have to be big to be Tov. And if you look at those two combined, there's more than 700 occurrences in Scripture of good or goodness. And it has a shape to it. It comes from somewhere. I went to stock images in my PowerPoint as I was producing slides. First thing that came up for good was this. I've shared it before because it's come up before as the first thing. I don't know whether PowerPoint has an algorithm that just keeps saying, Dave wants a picture, send him this one. That is evil, yes. Tov will not kill you. This will. But anyway... So just for a moment, it is worth pausing because actually I think I used this image when I talked about love and that idea that I can say, hey, I love a hot dog, which let's be honest, I don't know what's in it and it could kill me, but I also love my family. We use love in a breadth of ways. We do the same thing with good, but good and love are actually closely connected. There is this statement, isn't there, in the New Testament, God is love. But there's also this idea that flows through the Bible that God is good, is Tov. And so just for a moment, for you, it's helpful sometimes just to recognize where you're sitting with something. What is your idea of good or goodness? So that as we move, you can consciously adjust your thinking if you need to. And in some ways, just like you can't nail love down too much because... it's a little bit slippery in the sense that love can look very different in different applications, can't it? In different times, in different places. I think good, there's some messiness there. We would like everything to be black and white, to be good or evil. And yet there's wisdom required sometimes. And we've got Anzac Day coming up on Saturday, and to me that's one of those times where you've got to be so careful, don't you? Do we want to glorify war? No. Do we want to recognize that some people gave their lives through war to resist evil because it needed to happen? Yeah, we do. So where do we land in the middle? How do we actually... is war evil or is it good? Well, no, it's it's a necessary thing that has had to occur. But anyway, there's a messiness. So as we move forward, culture, Tov, there's this book I told you about at the announcement time. And it's talking about culture for individuals, for leaders, for churches, so on and so forth. And in that book, they have a series of things that they go and look at and investigate to try and understand what Tov is for churches and cultures and for individuals. And this is it. Let me introduce you to the Wheel of Tov. And next week, we're going to be looking at empathy. So if you go to the top and start going to the right and going around in clockwise, we are going to be going through these in order. Now, this is the stripped back version. There is a bit more complexity, which when we get to the end of the talk, I'll let you know about. But at the moment, we're looking at these specific ingredients, which this book highlights as being really, really helpful. If you want to become more Tov or have and build a culture of Tov or be in a community that is Tov, this is what it's going to look like. These are some of the ingredients and some of the things things that you need to move towards or work towards or get God's help in being shaped into. Empathy, grace, putting people first, telling the truth, nurturing justice, nurturing service, nurturing Christ-likeness. Now, I just want to say off the bat, all of those things are Christ-like. There's links between them, you know. Once again, we just got to take it that, but these are some helpful things to pinpoint and emphasize. And so we're looking at that as we go through the series. For us this morning, we're going to have a bit of an introduction just into what Tove is more generally. We're going to look at four things that Scott McKnight and his daughter Laura in the book highlight for us. The first thing is this, and that is that God alone is Tove. When it comes to Toveness, he's the one. So just for a moment, verse 2. And I just want to say this whole chapter in Romans 12 is Tove. It's about Tove. It reeks of Tove. You'll find passages like that in the Bible. Why? Because they're written by and about a God who is Tove. And Paul is, it's almost like the Sermon on the Mount, some of this as well. You'll find Tove stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. But we're following Jesus, who once again was Tove, but also was helping us to become Tove. This is the subject matter. And in verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his Tove, pleasing and perfect will. God knows and God wants and God has a plan for Tove. Now, the thing is, we're confused about Tove, and so we need his help to be able to test and approve and understand the difference between Tove and evil. Things that just come naturally for God that we struggle with. Comes naturally for God because this is who he is. Remember that verse? Come, taste and see that the Lord is Tove. He's the one. And so that's the very first thing in understanding Tove. And these four points that we look at this morning have almost a gospel-like sort of thing, and I see them in our vision and our mission as a church. But Tove is first and foremost about God, because God is Tove. And in that, there is things like the good news that we talk about, the Tove news. The fact that God is love, yes, and from that flows the fruits of the Spirit, and those fruits of the Spirit are goodness being done. Now, Jesus, as we look at him at the cross and the way he responded, and as we go through, especially the last two, and in particularly the last point on what Tove is, you see at the cross, you see Tove. As Jesus allows himself to be stripped away as he is beaten and ridiculed and crucified and does not strike back. But we'll get to that in a moment. God is good. And so as we think about that, that's the first point. That's the starting point. And I think Tim's prayer reflected that this morning as well. Like, for us to be Tove, we have to come to the one who is Tove. And so that brings us to our second point. God alone is Tove, but the second thing is God's design is Tove. And one of the things I want to highlight for you this morning is that you are a part of God's design. Now, this is where we get confused, because we were made, go back to Adam and Eve, pre-fall, pre-eating of the tree of the knowledge of Tove and evil, pre-doing that, God looked at the design of everything and said, it's Tove. In fact, he said, it's very Tove. So that's really, really good. That's you and me. But there's a brokenness that has occurred, isn't there? And this is where we get confused, because we've had theologians down through the years say things like, there's the total depravity of man. That means there's no good thing in you or I. And we need to push back against that a little bit. We've got to say, no, hang on, God made me for good. And not only that, God is now changing me and transforming me for good. Note that the good in me ultimately comes from the one who is Tove. That's the first point. God is Tove. But please be encouraged that you are a part of God's Tove design. And although you will have days that are very untove and people look at you and go, ooh, that's untove, that God is shaping us and making us into his design, which is tove. And so in the passages in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, so that's the need for the mercy is because we're not tove the way we were created to be, but God shows us mercy anyway, and he says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We're called to endeavor to become more tove. This goes back to discipleship, doesn't it? You don't just become tove by pretending to be tove. You become tove by being transformed and changed. And so when it, like Scott McKnight, in the book they say, this is a quote from the book, it says something interesting. It says, tove is about beauty, aesthetics, excellence, what pleases our senses of sight and sound. And for a moment you might go, oh, we're back to the donuts. They're all the donut things. But it's actually deeper than that, isn't it? Have you had those moments? And I think I've shared this before. For me now as a grandfather as well as a parent and at family gatherings and just sitting back, and I'm seeing and I'm hearing, and sometimes there is smells and there's all sorts of things happening that are tingling my senses with the ones that I love. And that's tove. So please don't take these words as like just what it looks like, because you could pretend, couldn't you? We're not pretending. It's deeper than that. And then it says, when we live according to God's design, we become people who love. This is tove. God is love. God is good. And so, that's the first and the second. God's tove, God's design is tove. We're going to move now to 3 and 4, which was the other places where you might be tempted the most to pretend. Okay, so the third one is tove is active. Tove is not something that does not move. It is something that is going to spring into action. And the fourth point is exactly the same as the third, but a little bit more specific about what that looks like in particular. But this is from the passage that we had read. This is verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teaching. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I hate it when people show mercy to you, but they don't do it cheerfully. Anyway, the point being is it's happening, isn't it? There's an action behind tove. Now, one of the things that I want to just acknowledge is that I, from up the front, often say to you, hey, have a Sabbath, do nothing. I just want to highlight the fact that tove is active when activity is required, when activity in itself will be tove. Sometimes inactivity is tove. But when there is something that needs to be acted out, then tove will. It won't sit and wait for somebody else to act. And so there's a wisdom in tove, isn't there? To act appropriately. And once again, this goes back to the very beginning of chapter 12, where we need God to renew our minds so that we have that wisdom as to when to act and when not to act, when it is truly tove. And so we have a list of things from Paul that he says these are things that, you know, if you're gifted by God, if you are being transformed by God to do these things, then do them, whichever it is that he has gifted you and given you the grace to do. Now, it is interesting, just for a moment to pause on this, that some of the things that stop us doing these things and being active with these things are not good things. For example, sometimes with toveness, we don't act because of our own sense of shame or because of the anxiety that might overcome us in a situation or because of perfectionism or fear. I think fear probably is underneath all of those things, where we don't step in and do what should be done. Verses 20 to 21, though, are another examples of, again, in this chapter. And this chapter is full of them. As it even says, like, if somebody's mourning, then you'll mourn with them. And here it says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. I really don't know why that verse is there. Anyway, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's going to lead us into the fourth one in a second. But Tove does the next best thing that can be done. It will not do it. And so Tove in its activity, Scott McKnight would say, is not just about doing Tove. Once again, it's not pretending. It's about being Tove. God transforms us into Tove people through the Holy Spirit, to whom Toveness is a natural fruit. Did you get that? I like that. One of the great things about the book and the way Scott and Laura write is they love some of the ways that they frame things. And I like how Toveness might be a natural fruit of who you and I are as we walk with Jesus, as his disciples being changed by him. Last one. Can you remember what the three are so far that we've done? God is Tove. God's design is Tove. Tove is active. And then the fourth one, last one. Tove resists evil. You can see how it's related to number three, can't you? But it resists evil. Now, some of the ones that I quoted for three, I could quote for four as well. But one of the ones that I didn't quote is this one from verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hate is a strong word. We always say that, don't we? Hate's a strong word. But the interesting thing is hate sometimes motivates us to do things. And Paul has managed to use the term hate, a strong word which is often a motivator to act, as a reason to resist evil, to push back against it. Love must be sincere. Don't pretend. Don't do it because out of obligation or out of shame or any of those things. And for me, this just brings us back to Jesus and walking with him and being changed by him, if indeed our love will be sincere. So hate evil, cling to what is good. God is good. So hate evil and cling to God while you are resisting it, and get his help. Verse 14 says this: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. There's an activity there. It's not like, oh, you're cursing me, I will remain silent. No. Remember what Jesus said on the cross when they crucified him? He didn't just turn the other cheek. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He actually extends mercy. He pleads on their behalf. This is Tove. Bless those who persecute you. Verses 17 to 18, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We do not resist evil by doing evil, by lashing out. Like I said, Anzac Day, war, it's confusion. Confusing, isn't it? When do we take other people's lives so as to stop evil, and it's actually not evil itself? I assume there are times where that is valid, where that is, but I really do think we need God's wisdom to help us sort that out. But what I do know is if I look at Jesus, then lashing out was not the model that he set for me. Now, one of the last things just with this, as we think about this, and I hope you can see that these four things interact with those things on that wheel a lot. This is calling for empathy, it's calling for grace, it's calling for Christ-likeness, it's calling for service, it's calling for all those things that it's calling us for this, to see people as people and to treat them as such, not as problems. It's all there in the circle in these four things. And so this is just an introduction to whet our appetite as we sort of enter into that. But with this fourth one, there's another reality as well. If you go to Galatians 5, 19 to 23, we have a list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Anybody give me a fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians? Go on, yell one out. Sorry? Love, joy, peace. Hey, you can stop now. We need to give others a go. Sorry. Love, joy, peace, patience, I think. What was kindness? Self-control? Long-suffering? Top of the class. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, how the really smart people sit up the back, being rebellious. Presbyterian churches, most people are smart. Anyway, Tim, you're smart. It's okay. All right. Sometimes I should just shut up. But anyway, so In Galatians 5, you've got that list. It's a good list, isn't it? You look at those things and you just think, well, there's not a bad one there. They're all good. But one of the things that Scott and Laura point out, which I think is helpful, and this actually completes the circle a bit more. I said it was thinned out. There was a bit of information missing. Next to that list of the fruits of the Spirit, Paul has another list. And one of the things on that list is fits of rage. There's some pretty bad things in that other list. And what Paul is really saying is there's this bad stuff. But the Holy Spirit, when it works in you and through you, will have this tov stuff. And this tov stuff, one of the things about it is that it's there to resist this bad stuff. And so one of the examples, as has already been said, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is peace. What's peace doing? Peace is resisting. It's not just going, hey, peace everybody, we have peace. No, it means when there is fits of rage, for example, then Tov will stand up and go, no, 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 let's work for peace. Let's stop tearing peace down. Let's stop working in the opposite direction. Let's turn this around. Let's push the cart in the other direction. Let's be purposeful, intentional, and persevere in that reality. And so if you want to, you can have a look at Galatians 5, and you can see those two sort of lists sitting side by side. But they, as we go through this list, as we think about empathy and we think about grace and we think about treating people as people, there are going to be things that we're going to look at resisting. So treating people like people is, I think, the thing that we are called to resist in the book. The thing that it suggests is to resist organizational creep. That idea that we as a church are a business, that you are minions, you're just widgets in the machine. If you're not functioning as you should, then the elders might come and tap you on the shoulder and say, look, you need to fix yourself up or get out because you're not being productive. No, we resist that because people are not human doings, they're human beings. And we will treat them as they are, as children of God. So we have these four things that we've looked at today, which is just a little bit of an introduction. I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's whet your appetite. We're going to have an invitation in a moment, but God alone is Tov. God's design is Tov. You are that design. A little bit of the shine has come off you, but God is going to work with you to restore that shine. Tov is active. You can be active in this as God works in you and helps you. And Tov resists evil. That final one is a real kicker for me because what that says to me is that if we step into this, if I step into this, if you step into this, it makes a difference in a world that is not Tov all the time. And I want to highlight that in a moment. First of all, invitation. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To think of Christ on the cross, the words that he spoke, Father, forgive them. That sort of a thing where we look to Jesus and ask that question, what would Jesus do? Very appropriate to ask. But specifically this week, I wonder if the invitation, it might be helpful to sit with Romans 12, 9 to 10. And I'm going to read through it again. I love this translation, like I said before. That's why that one is up there. I just love the way that it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I struggle. I don't do that all the time. But I'd love for you to sit with that this week. If you want to take a photo of it, if you want that version, it's the NLT version, I think, but if you want, you'll be able to get that on your phone, or if you want to take a photo of that, that's fine. But my encouragement would be to sit with that in your quiet time this week. Each and every day, have a look at it. And ask God for some help with it. Because we can't do this without him, can we? The first sentence highlights that. Don't just pretend. We need his help to be changed and transformed. And so I encourage you, ask God for help. And to look at Jesus as a good disciple, as to what he would do. You might want to have a look at a couple of stories in the gospel where Jesus does something that stands out to you as being awesomely Tov, and be reminded or clarified as to what Tov looks like. And then finally, to break it down, to ask, what is the next best Tov thing or activity that you could do? And so with the first, like with asking God, sorry, looking at Jesus, one of the things that you might ask God in all of this, as you look at this, God might give you a name or a face of somebody who he is asking you to really love. I remember I had somebody in my life who was causing me some difficulty. That's right, there was one person once. And I was really struggling with it, and I asked God for help with it. And God's answer was infuriatingly simple. He said, love him. Just love him. I was trying to manage him. I was trying to do all sorts of things. And God just cut all that out and said, just love the guy. So with this, as you sit with that, be open to God giving you a face or a name. And as he does that, then to break it down to that, well, what is the next best Tov thing that I could do in that relationship that God has brought to my attention when it comes to being Tov? Why would you do that? Well, Romans 12 says, in view of God's mercy, to be a living sacrifice, to be Tov, to grow, to be that, to make that difference, that change. And so if I could answer the question, why do that? Like, I would hope that you would do it because, I mean, you can't pretend to love somebody. And so in this is this, like, you know, why do it? Well, if God helps you get to a place where you do love them, then why would you not? But there's this other reality as well, isn't there? And we could jump into pretending with this other reality. I want to warn us against that. But just to close, there is this other reality. And that is quite simply this. If God puts a name or a face in your mind this week as you read these verses, and he gives you a next best thing that you can do with that person, the world will be better. God will be doing something profound through you in someone's life. So that's big. It's good news. We can make a difference in this world through very simple, small things at times, through Tov things. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation to be who you've created us to be, to live up to and into that perfect Tov design. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these verses that encourage us and inform us as to what it looks like to be Tov. And I pray for those of us who might step into this invitation this week, that you would help us to see clearly a face or a name where we might make a difference, where maybe we've been struggling. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to pretend to love, but you would actually work in our hearts and give us the love that we need to be loving. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to do this because we love, as you've loved us. Also recognize, Lord, that as we talked about last week with discipleship and this being your plan A, is to work through us. We just recognize that this is your plan A to make a difference in this world, is through us, being changed by you to love. I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged to see that some very small things that we might do may make a huge difference in somebody's life in this broken world. So we pray that you would go with us this week and help us with these things in Jesus' name. Amen.